Welcome to the Kingdom Truth Podcast. On our podcast, we teach the good news of Jesus Christ and biblical principles that empower all people with real-life, timeless applications. I am your host, Bible teacher, Yolanda Tyler. Well, praise the name of the Lord, everybody. We are excited about God's Word on this day. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We pray for every listener that they will hear your word and receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue our sermon series titled, When Godly Leaders Pray. I will be reading in your hearing from the New American Standard Version of the Bible, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Our first biblical principle in this lesson is when godly leaders pray, praise and worship comes before petition. Our second principle, God is the central focus. Our third biblical principle is we focus on the attributes of God. Now let's continue. Verse 11 says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." Our God is a great God. He is our sovereign Lord and King. King David not only prays and acknowledges God's greatness, he wrote and sang songs about God's greatness. In Psalm 86, verses 8 through 10, the Bible says, "There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. For you are great, and you do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. There is no one like our God. No one is higher than our God. No one is greater than our God. Our God is incredibly great and greatly to be praised." Moses confirms in the book of Exodus, chapter 18, 11, that our God is great. It says, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods," little G-O-D-S. It was David who wrote in Psalm 93, 1, "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty." David prays and enters into fellowship with our infinitely great God, our Father. And when we know and understand the relevance of God's greatness in our prayers and during intimate fellowship with the Lord, it will revolutionize our prayer life. God's majestic greatness is infinite. It is never ending and it can never be exhausted. Scripture declares that his greatness is also in us. According to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." We must keep God's greatness at the forefront of our hearts and minds during prayer. Our God is the great God. And as we continue examining David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, it says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power." The word power in this verse comes from the Hebrew word geburah, and it means strength, might, or valor. God is powerful. God created all power. He is the source of all power. One commentary stated it so beautifully. He has all power over all things, at all times, and in all ways. The Bible says in Psalm 62:11, God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. And this is how David is praying in our lesson text. Yours, O Lord, is the power. King David is focusing on the attributes of God. And all throughout scriptures, we read about God's awesome power in accomplishing all that he wills. In creation, in Genesis 1:1, God's creative power is on display. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We see God's creative power on display in his relation to mankind. In Exodus 4:11, the Bible says, the Lord said to him, he was speaking to Moses, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf, or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? We see the Lord's power on display in Egypt. In Exodus 9:4, the Bible says, but the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. And as God incarnate, Jesus Christ is all-powerful. His power is displayed in the miracles he performed and the numerous healings during his earthly ministry. In one account, in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 41 to 42, Jesus feeds 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves. The Bible says, and he took 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. God's power and might has no limits. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 23, the Bible says, the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. The leaders and all those assembled with David had heard of God's great power and his mighty hand upon the children of Israel during the time they served Pharaoh in Egypt. They knew God was very powerful. And we know that God is powerful. He just brought us out and delivered us out of a very dark time in history with the coronavirus pandemic. We have seen God move by his power and might all around the world and in our families and our lives personally. And when we know and experience God's power and focus on the attributes of God, it makes a huge difference when we pray. We don't have to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known to God. God is our source of strength and supernatural power, and he will make a way for us out of no way. Genesis 18:14 declares, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 32:17 answers and confirms the same truth. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Nothing is too difficult for Jehovah. He is the God of the impossible. All things are possible with him. In Job 42:2, it says, I know that you can do all things. Jesus declares in Matthew 19:26, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. One commentary stated, the omnipotence of God gives every saint a firm foundation to trust him and confidence in his ability to keep the precious and magnificent promises in Scripture. He has the ability to do whatever His will dictates. We trust the Lord God, and we too should pray like David and bring down things from heaven. When godly leaders pray, we focus on the Lord and His attributes. It's not about us. It's all about the Lord and only about the Lord. There is no one like our God. He is infinitely great and all-powerful. Now let's continue in 1 Chronicles 29:11. It says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." The word glory in this text comes from the Hebrew word tipharah, and it means splendor, beauty, majesty, or honor. God is beautifully glorious. He is the radiance of His glory. David ascribes glory to the Lord in his prayers. He's not trying to get any glory. He's not trying to give the glory to the leaders or the people. He's not trying to give the glory to those who gave the largest gifts or the best offerings. He does not call out or separate anyone in the congregation based on how much money they gave, which we sometimes see in our modern day churches. David gives the Lord all the glory, all the honor, and all the praises. And he knows without a shadow of doubt that it was the Lord who blessed all of them to give so generously in the first place. And when the Lord blesses us to give generously, we must also be reminded that all the glory belongs to the Lord. Isaiah 42:7 says, "He will not share His glory to anyone else or His praise to idols. He is worthy of it all." David writes so beautifully in Psalm 27:4, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." The desires of David's heart was to behold God's beauty. This beauty is God's glory. And in our scripture text, 1 Chronicles 29, David and the people of God were making preparations to build the temple of the Lord, where the Ark of the Covenant was to be placed. And in past times, the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the tabernacle. It was over the mercy seat of the Ark, where the presence of Yahweh and His glory appeared as a shining light. All throughout Scripture, God's people experienced God's glory and manifested presence. The children of Israel experienced God's Shekinah glory in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night during the 40 years in the wilderness. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 22, he testifies of God's glory. It says, "It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him." God's glory is often referred to as a brilliant, bright, transcendent light. Creation testifies of the infinite glory of the Lord, as David writes in Psalm 19:1, "The heavens tell of the glory of God, and their expanse declares the work of His hands." In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul testifies of the glory of God. 1 Timothy 6:16 speaks of God dwelling in an unapproachable light. The Bible says, "He alone possesses immortality and lives in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. To Him be honor and eternal power and dominion. Amen." And in our modern day church, we sing so many songs about the glory of God. And one of them came out a few years ago, and its title is "Worthy of It All" by David Brymer. The lyrics are, "You are worthy of it all, for from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory." One commentary writer stated it so beautifully, "The glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections." David reminds us in this prayer, all the glory belongs to the Lord. We are to glorify Him in our hearts, with our lips, with our minds, and with our entire beings, all the days of our lives and all throughout eternity. We are to glorify God in our marriages, in our ministries, with our children, our grandchildren. We are to give God glory in our careers, with our gifts, talents, abilities, in every aspect of our lives. And whatever we do, we should do it all for the glory of God. He is worthy of it all. And it is when godly leaders pray, it's all about the Lord, and we focus on the infinite attributes and characteristics of the Lord. Now let's continue. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." The word victory comes from the Hebrew word netzach. And it means eminence, strength, enduring, or everlasting. God is victorious, and His victory is transcendent. It's enduring and everlasting. The Lord stands eternally triumphant, and He cannot be defeated. No one can stand in His way. King David was surrounded by many enemies. He was a man of war, and because he had shed so much blood upon the earth and had fought so many great wars, according to 1 Chronicles 22, verse 8, the Lord had forbidden David from building the temple. King David knew it was nobody but the Lord God who gave him strength and the victory to defeat his enemies in the first place. We read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 10. The Bible says, "David arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder." And it is repeated again in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 12. The Bible says, "The Lord gave him the victory." David wrote many songs about the Lord's victory and deliverance in his life. The Psalms were an expression of David's heart. In Psalm 18:37, he writes, "I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed." And it continues in verses 39 to 40. The Bible says, "For you have girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me." And when David is about to go to war, he goes to the sanctuary where the congregation is praying for him. And the Bible says in Psalm 20, verse 5, in the New Living Translation, "We will sing for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up banners. May the Lord fulfill your desires." So many godly leaders in the Old Testament can testify of the Lord's victory. We see it in the life of Moses and Joshua. After they defeated the Amalekites at Rephidim, Moses builds an altar and names it Jehovah Nissi, which simply means the Lord is our banner, according to Exodus 17:15. The Lord goes before us and He fights our battles for us against our enemies. God is victorious. And actually, as New Testament believers, our ultimate victory is in Jesus Christ. He is our undisputed, uncontested champion who gained the victory for us. Through his death, he conquered and defeated Satan. Hebrews 2:14 says that through death, Jesus might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And through his death, he conquered sin, death, and the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 to 57 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ reigns in victory. And regardless of our circumstances or the challenges that we face, we have the victory. And we must decide in our hearts that we will not accept or settle for anything less in Jesus' name. Now let's continue. Our theme for this lesson is when godly leaders pray, we focus on the infinite and beautiful attributes of the Lord. The last attribute in 1 Chronicles 29:11 is majesty. Majesty comes from the Hebrew word hod, and it means splendor, glorious, excellency, or grandeur. God is majestic, and this attribute that King David ascribes to the Lord in his prayer is reflective of the beauty and the splendor of Yahweh. David wrote many lyrics and sang songs to the Lord about his majestic characteristics. In Psalm 8, verse 1, it says, O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who have displayed your splendor above the heavens? King David expresses the sentiments of his heart as he prays. This prayer is filled with awe and adoration. The Lord's majesty is real and personal in David's life. All throughout his life as a shepherd boy tending the flock, David saw and marveled at the majesty and the beauty of God in all creation. He witnessed God's majesty when he looked up to the heavens and saw his magnificence in the clouds. He saw the Lord's beauty in the green pastures and his splendor in the terrains of the valleys and mountains, in the still waters and in the rivers and the streams. David witnessed the light of God's glory in the brilliance of the sun, moon, and the stars. He felt the wind. He heard the thunder and saw the lightning, all revealing the Lord's majesty and his grandeur and so much more. The Bible says the Lord is clothed with splendor and majesty. He covers himself with light as a garment, according to Psalm 104, verses 1 and 2. Our God is majestic, and there's no one like our God. No one can compare to him. And in the Old Testament, the children of Israel witnessed the splendor of the Lord's majesty and his power when he caused the sun at Gibeon and the moon at the valley of Ayalon to stand still until the Israelites were avenged of their enemies. This is found in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, and the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hurry to go down for about a whole day. And in the New Testament, Peter writes that he was an eyewitness to the majesty of the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty. He saw the Lord's majesty also on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, 1, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up in a high mountain by themselves. and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with them. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ also recognizes and witnesses the majesty of God the Father. Hebrews 1:3 declares, "And he, the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he, Jesus, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." John Piper puts it this way. He's the founder and senior teacher of DesiringGod.org. God is majestic. This means that he has the marks of royalty or kingliness. When he rides by, you take off your hat or you salute. You don't slouch and you don't swagger. You don't joke and you don't jest. You stand in awe and tremble with joy that you have been granted to see and not die. God is majestic. And in our modern day churches, we sing beautiful songs about the majesty of God. One of them is a classic contemporary song, and it was written by the late Jack Hayford. The song title is Majesty. The verse simply goes, "Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings." And when godly leaders pray, we focus on the attributes of God. We've all seen and experienced this attribute of majesty in our lives. It is so real and personal. All we have to do is take a look around us on a daily basis. We see it on display in the lives of our loved ones and our family members. We are all God's beautiful creation. We're all created in the image and the likeness of God. The magnificent splendor and beauty of the Lord is always on display in our lives. My husband and I daily are so grateful that we see the beauty and the splendor of the Lord in our quarter horses. Their grandeur and their strength are so majestic. And when we focus on the Lord's attributes, they tell us so much about the Lord and what he is capable of doing in our lives. Now let's look at some practical applications for this lesson. Number one, make a list of the attributes of God. Number two, study them and incorporate them as part of your prayer life. And you might ask Bible teacher Tyler, who is this Jesus? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for salvation that's taking place all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Truth Podcast with Bible teacher Yolanda Tyler. Please subscribe to our podcast so you will know when the next episode is published. To hear more biblical teachings and give to support the ministry, please visit our website at www.thekingdomtruth.org. That is www.thekingdomtruth.org. God bless you until we meet again.